Do you know any Jedi mind tricks for retention? Hello and welcome to Growth Masterminds. My name is John Gutsier. I'm not sure if you've ever wanted to say the app you're looking for is already on your phone. It might be nice sometimes, especially if you could extend Jedi mind powers over the internet. There's a wellness app with almost 9 million users that just might have some ideas about how to do that. The app is Weltery. It's an AI co-pilot for wellness. Here to chat is the VP of Strategy and the Jedi Master of App Features, Aisha Poloni. And I screwed up your name, I'm certain of it, but I tried. I gave a valiant effort. How are you doing?
I'm good. Everyone screws up my name, so it's totally fine.
I'm calling you
Poloni. You did beautiful.
I'm calling you Poloni. We're going all like, you know, old school England on this. And we're going last name only. And good luck with mine. So let's go here. Where did you acquire your Jedi mind tricks?
My Jedi mind tricks, I don't know, a lot of mistakes, I think probably. So I think that one of the things that made me particularly good at the Jedi mind tricks is that originally I was a content creator. I started at Weltery doing content, and it became a very content heavy app. We kind of built this janky AI that would change the content depending on user data and show them something new every time they opened the app. And that kind of, I think, gave me a good feel for what works for people, what doesn't. I got to test out a lot of things, and learn about a lot about, you know, what keeps users, opening up your app over and over again, scrolling, stuff like that.
Well, that is an awesome story. I mean, you're VP of strategy right now, and you're also heavily involved in product features and a lot of the retention stuff and everything like that. And I love to hear when people come from the content side, because I've come from the content side. I was a full-time journalist at VentureBeat, still write at Forbes, still love writing, can't not write. I mean, you just have to, it just has to come out, right? And so I love hearing that, because a lot of people who do that become very good generalists with a lot of knowledge in a lot of different areas. And also they're very good at incorporating information, understanding it quickly, and then synthesizing it and making decisions. So great to hear that. So I guess the follow-up question was, for the benefit of listeners as well as myself, where can we get some Jedi mind tricks? I mean, who doesn't want to be able to control people remotely with just your brain?
So I think that generally, I don't know if you know this or if our listeners know this, but generally speaking, the kind of like fitness and mobile health and like wellness category has atrocious retention rates. And there's a pretty good reason for that, because typically all of these apps follow the same kind of like layout, the same kind of mechanics. So say you're just like a regular user, and something happens in your life that makes you say, you know, it's time to change this life around. I'm going to download a health app and I'm going to get super healthy. It's going to analyze all of my data. It's going to give me a personalized plan and tell me exactly what I need to do. I'm going to do it and then I'm going to get in good shape. But then, of course, people download this app, they buy the personalized plan that it gives them, and then they don't do it.
It's the gym membership of apps is what you're saying.
Yes. Yes. And then what happens is if you're not, you know, you're tired at the end of the day, you know, you're not going to meet your like goals, but your fitness goals for the day or something like that. So then you're not going to want to open the app, because it's just going to tell you you're not doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. And that's going to make you feel bad. So you're not going to open it. And then you're going to feel bad about paying for something that you're not even opening, and you're going to churn. So Weltery's entire journey has been historically about how to avoid that.
This is a great opener, and I did not know that about the health and fitness category, although when you explain it, it sounds obvious. Everybody knows about the gym membership thing. Everybody knows about the, you know, it's New Year resolution time. I'm going to get fit, and the gym is really busy, and then 10 days later, it's back to normal, other things like that. So this is very, very cool. It's going to be super interesting. We're going to dive into all those tips and tricks and the Jedi mind powers. Looking forward to it. Super interesting to hear about your app story there and having to combat that natural tendency in the space. What tricks have you developed? What tactics, what strategies have you developed to combat that?
So I think the basic thing to keep in mind, which people always tend to forget, is the basic rules of apps. People like apps that make them feel good, and they don't like apps that make them feel bad.
Whoa, we're getting deep into psychology here.
Yeah. So if you're, and that makes it a particularly tough space for apps that are trying to help people reach long-term goals, right? Mm-hmm. Because to reach long-term goals, you got to do stuff that you don't necessarily like to do. And when you open an app and all it's telling you is that you have some goals to meet, you're failing to meet them. Your metrics are going down. You're failing. You're not going to want to open that app. And I mean, people will make arguments like, okay, but like people have to like face the truth, face the music. The only way you can get healthy is, you know, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. But then you get, that's how you get low retention. I'm sorry, I don't make the rules.
So that's the drill sergeant. That's the drill sergeant approach to fitness, right? I mean, do it, get on there, get going. Super interesting. Continue, please.
So don't do that. If you're making it up, that's. I think we can end it here. Just don't do that.
Okay, done.
I'm joking. Oh. So there's some. So the approach that Welltree decided to take is so we try to look at products that people love to use, mm-hmm. Both in terms of mobile apps and also like physical products. I usually give like a bath bomb example. People like that one, in order to get people to actually use an app that's good for them. Mm-hmm. And products that people like are really, it's basically TikTok, it's bath bombs, it's stuff that's like fun, exciting, new every time, stuff like that. And I think we stick to a total of maybe 5 key strategies. And I guess I can tell you about those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Love
if
to.
That would help.
Love to. Yes. Yeah.
So the first one that I think is really important is we like to really keep things magical. And when I say magical, I don't mean like tarot cards or fortune tellers or anything like that. What I mean is that there's like a basic rule of psychology that people really love doing nothing and still getting something for it. You know, like in product management, we have this entire mantra that people buy products to help them make progress in their lives.
Yes.
But I'm not sure that, because I don't buy like a bath bomb to make progress in my life, right? I buy a mm-hmm. bath bomb because it's magical and it turns my bathtub into a magical spaceship, and I think that's cool and fun, and that's why I get them.
Clearly, I need more bath bombs in my life. That's what I'm taking from this episode.
Yeah, I really like to say this to men in tech because I think that there's like a whole world.
Definitely a whole world. I've never used a bath bomb, but you know, when I think bath bomb, I think exploding my bathroom. But clearly, that's not the right thing.
Yeah. So when we visualize people's data, so we have this really complicated analysis of people's heartbeats. We can analyze people's heartbeat for like to gauge their stress levels, energy levels, all sorts of scientific information about how balanced their nervous system is, their heart health. And I guess we could present that in any way we want. Mm-hmm. Some people say, just give me the raw data, give me the numbers and I'll decide what to do with them. We don't do that. instead, we kind of bath bomb it. So we present it as this beautiful, magical fuel tank that changes color and behavior depending on how your body is feeling that day. So if you're really stressed, it's kind of red and starts to bubble over. And if you're calm, it turns blue, kind of like the ocean. Or if you have a lot of energy, it's green and kind of there's like a lot of fuel in the tank. And people really love coming back to that mm-hmm. because they don't quite know what they're getting. It's new content every time. It has these magical colors that change. And it's helpful scientific information, but it's just cool to look at. Mm-hmm. And you don't actually have to do anything to get it. You just open the app and it's right there because it takes measurements from your Apple Watch and just visualizes them as this beautiful thing.
Amazing. Okay, cool. So that strategy one is magic. Making something mundane, interesting, cool, slightly exotic, maybe even mysterious, but ultimately very informative. What's strategy two?
At WellTree, we do a lot of work on really hyper-personalizing content for our users. So we really do a lot of segmentation of our users. And in order to do this, we let people connect, I think it's some absurd number of data sources. It's like over 1,000 different data sources. Because people are interested in all sorts of like different strange things. So like my CEO, Jane, has her Stripe revenue connected to her WellTree account. Because when I talk to her and I'm like, Jane, your stress levels are a bit high, I'm a lot more likely to get a positive response for her if I remind her, hey, Jane, your stress levels are actually correlated with your Stripe revenue. We sent you a correlation. We built you like an entire research paper and sent it to you personally to show you that you need to take care of your stress levels. Now, if I told her, okay, like 10, 20 years from now, if you keep working like this, you're going to be at risk of a heart attack. She's probably going to be like, please leave my office. I have to do my report. Please ask to leave me alone. But if we can understand what sorts of things really matter to users through their data, and then try to connect their wellness and health behavior to those things that matter to them. So like their performance at work. We do a lot of productivity analysis. A lot of stuff like that. Try to keep things relevant. I think that's also a strategy that works. At least it works for us.
That is insanely awesome. Super personalized, as you mentioned, connected to 1,000 data sources. That's absolutely incredible. And it actually, it's funny because it addresses the whole person. So I do use an Apple Watch. I do close my rings. I have like a 1,200 day streak going, and it's not at 200 calories a day, let me tell you that much. So there's a lot going on there. And that's through multiple injuries. I'm just boasting right now. I should shut up. But that's through like leg injuries, and that's through like tendon tears and everything. And so I've kept that going. I got to keep that going. But it's not connected to my Slack. It's not connected to anything else. So it's not connected to any of my work life at all. And what you're kind of saying is that all that stuff is part of overall wellness.
Yeah. And people are a lot more motivated to take care. Like I said, we have this really elaborate and accurate stress analysis. And we really see that people are a lot more likely to take care of their stress levels if they see how it impacts their ability to like work productively or focus. It's much more motivating.
Cool. Okay. Strategy one is magic. Strategy two is hyper-personalization, segmentation. Really cool. What's strategy three?
Show people something new every time they open the app.
Novelty.
Novelty. Yeah. There's a product guru, whose name I always forget. But he wrote this book Hooked. I'm sure everyone knows it.
While you talk, I'll look it up. I recognize it as well, but I'm wondering. Here we go. Something's coming up. Emily McIntyre? No, that is different. That is James, a ruthless villain, wants to use Wendy, Peter's daughter, for his revenge against Peter. Okay, that is not it. is also booked. I looked near AL. That's who it is.
Yeah. Okay. So he makes a great point that people find products like TikTok and Facebook and Instagram super addicting, and they keep coming back because you get a little reward every time. Mm-hmm. You know, you never quite know what you're going to get. You're going to get like some new content. You're going to get into an argument with your uncle. You never know.
Is that the reward? Wow.
Weird. Time off Facebook, please. You get engagement.
Wow. Yeah. Somebody else dissing electric cars. Okay. There we go. No, too much information. Strategy four.
So, it works. People usually associate this kind of stuff with apps that are bad for you because usually it's user generated content that can create kind of like an endless stream of things. Mm-hmm. we were really committed to the idea of showing users something new every time they open the app. So even long before generative AI, we built our own janky generative AI. and I swear it aged me like a decade, but our users see something new every time they open the app, and it really works.
Wow. Awesome. Very cool. So we got magic, we got hyper-personalization, we got novelty. What's number four?
I forget number four. Number five is definitely don't make your users feel bad. People hate...
Awesome.
People hate apps that make them feel bad. Just so if you're shaming your users every time they open your app, they're not going to come back.
Yeah.
And now I remember four.
Excellent. Let's go with four first.
I think that there are, so people wear a lot of like wearables and data trackers. And I really love how wearables are getting more and more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that they're doing a really good job of showing trends and like visualizing people's data.
Yeah.
The problem, or not necessarily, I wouldn't say call it a problem. I would call it a challenge for users, is that you don't really know what 10,000 steps means for you. Because it means for different people, different things, and for different people, different things on different days. So it depends on your age, your fitness level, how quickly you walk those 10,000 steps, how well rested you are that day. And what our science, head of science, tells me, how much stress you've built up on your cardiovascular system that day also matters. 10,000 steps may or may not be enough, depending on how much damage you've done to yourself.
Wow.
So another thing we try to do is, instead of just visualizing the raw numbers that people's fitness trackers track, we try to make sense of things holistically. So we just released a new feature. It's called the Today Screen. And it basically makes sense of every single heartbeat your Apple Watch tracks and every single step you take. And it packs it into these categories that change with every single data point that's added to your fitness tracker. So it can actually show you, like, it has a neat feature called a pressure gauge. So, you know, when you're sitting in front of the computer and you're like talking to your boss and it's a very stressful conversation and your heart is racing, that's quite bad for you.
Yes, I can imagine.
So your body's producing cortisol. It's triggering a whole bunch of processes in your body, and it's putting pressure on your cardiovascular system. So when we see that that's happening to someone, they're sitting, you know, their heart is racing, their pressure gauge goes up. But the cool part is if after they're done their call, they go for a run, they get some like medium intensity exercise or something like that, that actually helps release the cortisol from your body, and your pressure gauge will go right back down.
Interesting. Interesting.
So literally everything you do throughout the day, your pressure gauge will react to. And the Today Screen is kind of packed with things like this that react to absolutely everything you do. So anytime you open it throughout the day, it won't be like, you know, you walked 10,000, 12,000 steps. It'll actually infuse all that data with meaning and I guess create like holistic sense out of it.
Super interesting. So I have to send this podcast to Gadi Eliashiv, the CEO of Singular, and tell him he's killing me. He's stressing me out. I'm dying because of him. And I won't do that. I won't do that. But that's interesting.
You can use Weltery and send him screenshots. Be like,
there you go. There you go. Solved. Awesome. I'm struggling to encapsulate what that fourth strategy is. I've sort of got simple, holistic, instant insight. I don't know. That's a lot of words. Does that make sense to you? Is there something else you can categorize it as a hand, something we can hang all that meaning on?
Yeah, I call it make sense in real time.
Ah, I like that. Make sense in real time.
So don't just track in real time, but make sense of things that are happening to the person in real time.
Okay. The reason why that's good, I don't know if you ever heard this, but this is something in that you would probably get in English classes in university. Latin words perplex the bean, Saxon words say what they mean. And what they're basically saying in that is, you small words. So not the words I used, use the words you use. That was awesome. So cool. So I get that. First is magic. We got hyper-personalization. We have this novelty, this little reward, this little hit of dopamine when you come into the app. That's awesome. And then the fourth is making sense in real time, not just data, not just tracking, making sense. Fifth is don't make your users feel bad. Talk a little bit more about that. I mean, I can see how people feel bad. They haven't done what they're supposed to do. They're not meeting their step goal on their step tracker, or they're not meeting their, maybe their heart rate is too high because they're too stressed out. So not meeting their, you know, their meditation goals. I'm not totally sure.
Yeah.
What do you do to not make users feel bad?
So we have, the way our app currently functions, like if you think about the way that most, fitness trackers function and most of those interfaces, they kind of have a really fixed interface where you open it and you're like, okay, my steps are here, my heart rate's here, I'm just going to check it like it's going to be like a dashboard and I'm going to know everything that's going on. If you have a really bad day, all of those things are going to look bad, right? So the way Welltree's interface works, so yours always looks good. That's cheating.
Mine does look pretty good usually.
That's why you check it.
Then I feel good about myself.
But Welltree's interface is more like a newsfeed. So you don't quite always know. We're trying to strike the balance right now between like showing people what they really like need to see. And then showing them things that kind of like distract and entertain them. We create a lot of media out of the data that we glean from people. So even when people are having like a bad, really stressful day, we can show them a beautiful fuel tank, kind of explain to them what's going on, distract them with an article here or there, but basically keep them engaged with the app in a way that isn't necessarily just disappointing. Obviously, you're going to see some disappointing things if you're having a really bad day and your stress levels are high. But if you can give people something else to keep them engaged, some other reason they should open you.
That makes sense. I would just like to call to remembrance that you use the words beautiful fuel tank. Beautiful fuel tank. Okay. Wow. This is a phrase that has never been uttered before in the history of the world. But okay. Very cool.
I know it doesn't make sense, but if you check out the interface, they are beautiful.
I will take your word for that, and I probably will check it out. You've intrigued me. Okay, cool. So you've got these five strategies that are part of Welltree's core overall strategic way of keeping people retained. Is there anything else that you do? Any other things notification-wise or anything else that you do that you feel is a big part of helping maintain people in your app? And anything else?
You know, I'm not really a notification person. We do use notifications. I do think, and I could be wrong, but I do think that the age of over-reliance on notifications to drive retention is a little bit coming to an end. I don't know if you've seen this, but I think a lot of industries have seen people muting more and more. I'm a muter. I don't have any notifications on ever. And I think at some point people are just going to go on notification overload. And you're really going to have to, what we do is we're working on creating like, I guess, crawling outside of the application. Like we create a lot of widgets for people's like watch faces and stuff like that, and widgets for people's phones. So they can still kind of use the app without having to open it. But then also giving them a teaser in that widget to get them to open the app.
I love it. I love it. And I love the way you said, here's how I feel. I could be wrong. I say that a lot myself as well. You know, the strong opinions, loosely held type of thing. Personally, I'm right where you are. When I need to work, I'm shutting everything out, and I am not worried about how many numbers or red numbers are popping up on my apps or something like that. I probably have 20,000, maybe 40,000 unread emails in my personal email where I get pitches for stories and stuff like that. And it's not the best use of my time. and to answer every email and to make sure every notification is checked off and undone, right? I mean, that's just so I totally with you. That said, I recently saw a study that said it's still a valid way of, and still very effective way of getting people to come back. That could be application dependent, that could be use dependent, and that could be vertical dependent as well. So there's always a lot of complexities in those things. Super, super interesting. This has been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed our conversation, and I've really enjoyed understanding a little bit more about what makes Weltery tick. Tell us a little bit about some of the results of these strategies. What does it help Weltery do? We all know retention sucks in general across pretty much every vertical for mobile apps. There's always a new app. There's always something different. And you got that effect compounded, as you explained, by saying in the wellness space, if people leave all the time, right? They sign up for something, that'll be good, then they don't want to do it, right? They sign up for the gym, and then they don't go, so they cancel it. Tell us something about your retention story in the wellness space that helps us understand how effective you've been.
Yeah, so I don't know if you've gathered this from our conversation, but we try to avoid telling our users what to do.
I've heard that.
we rely on a bunch of different tactics, and it's led to pretty good results. So our usage retention rates is about 56% over the course of 3 years. So people who purchased us 3 years ago.
What drugs are you selling? Wow.
I want to be really clear about this because a lot of people, because we're an entertainment app, I am talking about usage retention. So a lot of people churn, like they unsubscribe, but they keep using the app because we have a really nice freemium thing. And then they resubscribe later and we get more and more value out of our cohorts the longer they stay with us. But our strategy is to keep them with us for as long as possible, even if they do unsubscribe, because we can always get them to resubscribe later.
Wow. Now, do you have multiple modes of monetization, or is it fully subscription? So these people who are not currently subscribed, do they see ads or anything like that?
No.
Interesting. You have faith in your ability to monetize based on the subscription, and you have faith that people will eventually come back and shoot their credit card your way.
Yeah. I mean, with the wellness app, it's tough. Are you going to sell leggings in a wellness app?
Exactly. We've noticed that at your activity level, you need this supplement, or that would get creepy pretty quick. I get it. Yeah. Yes.
We do have a lot of, obviously, so we provide a lot of freemium features, and people get a lot of value out of our app, even just as free users. A good principle that we stick to is if it has the potential to save someone's life, it should be free.
Wow. Cool.
So if people need to take, a heart rate variability measurement, and we see that there's something just really doesn't look right, we want to be able to tell them about that without them having to pay for the app. And I think that people see that and they stick around in part because of this, because they really trust that. And we do have a lot of monetization mechanics, but then if you want to see more details about your measurements, you really want to go on a fascinating journey that explores every aspect of your health. You want to gather all the data from all the different data sources, then, there's a lot of blurs and monetization mechanics in the app for that. But you don't have to pay to use it.
This has been fascinating. This has been a great conversation. I really want to thank you for taking the time to spend with me, with anybody who's listening or watching eventually when this gets published in a couple of weeks. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.